the Lord, everybody. I don't know about you, but that's good news. That a saint is just a sinner who fell down and got back up again. Amen. Our perfection is not in us, but it is in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're fallible. We're flesh. Amen. But through Christ Jesus, there is a level of perfection that is designated to us because of his righteousness. And for that reason, we ought to rejoice because we fall down. Amen. And then we can get back up again. Praise the Lord. Let's give the praise and worship leaders a hand right now. Come and journey with me to the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 12. And I'm going to read verse 34 in your hearing, and we're going to get right into the message for today. Luke 12, 34. Short verse. We got a lot more to talk about this than that verse. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Bow with me. Father God, we come in the name of Jesus. We praise you. We give you thanks. We give you glory, O God, for who you are. And Lord, for all that you do in our lives as your children. I pray, O God, right now that you would show up, show yourself mighty. Use my mind and my mouth, O God, that I might convey to your people from the word of God what you have to say to the people of God. I pray, O Lord, that someone's heart will be touched, that their lives will be transformed, that they will commit to you today, O Lord, to allow you to rule and reign in their lives, to be glorified through the life that they live. Bless now, Lord. I ask it all in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. Lift your Bible and repeat after me. This is my Bible, God's holy word, a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. I will hide it in my heart that I may not sin against God. Let's give the Lord some praise, and you may be seated in his presence this morning. Praise God for allowing us to be here to worship him. Worship is a privilege. It's a blessing afforded us through God. And I'm excited because we are approaching my favorite time of the year. Amen. Amen. You know, this fall winter season is my favorite. And I don't want none of y'all, you know, thinking that it's because my birthday is in November. Amen. That has nothing to do with this. This is about the time of the year and how families come together to celebrate the blessings of God and the birth of his son, Jesus Christ. But today, I want to encourage you to make heaven your priority. And if you would allow me, I'm going to say make heaven your first priority. And the reason why is because this property is condemned. Rance Allen sings a song that's titled, "That Will Be Good Enough for Me." And he talks about all the famous places that he has not been. And in singing about those places, he conveys the message that it's okay that I haven't been there, because the most important place that I want to go is heaven. And if I can just get to heaven, that will be good enough for me. And in that song, he lets it be known that heaven is his primary or his first priority. And today I want to talk about a reality that some are not aware of, and maybe some have forgotten. And I want to talk about a place that is the best place to invest our time and the safest place to store our treasures and resources. Today, we have so many people that have misplaced values and perverted dedications, amen. And I believe it's because Satan has blinded the eyes of people to what is most important in the life of a human being. I believe that he's blinded our eyes to God's truth. And see, we understand what it means when something has been condemned. Because when we go through certain cities, amen, there are certain areas where the buildings have been abandoned. And where homeless people, sometimes drug dealers, set up their operations, amen, in order to carry on their business because nobody's paying attention to those dilapidated, rundown buildings. And in those blighted areas, we'll see signs that simply say, dangerous building, keep out. Or they'll say that this building is hazardous, keep out. And then when the city and those who make those decisions truly arrive at that place where they know that it is absolutely no use, they will place a sign there that says this place or this property is condemned. And when you see that sign, it means that they have determined that they're going to demolish it. They're going to tear it down. Amen. And if you believe the Bible, that's what God has said about planet Earth. That this property is condemned. And it's just a matter of time before I will demolish it, before I will destroy it. And I'm sure that every one of us can think back in our minds and the cities where we were raised, and you'll remember buildings that once existed that are no longer there. Case in point. The Bendix / Honeywell Marine Corps building at 95th and Troops. If you didn't know it was there, you wouldn't know. Amen. 53rd and Jackson, J.S. Chick Elementary School. If you didn't know that Chick was there, you wouldn't know, because it is just a nice vacant lot that is mowed and kept orderly for those people who pass and those people who live in that community. And in both instances, when the upkeep or the cost of renovation exceeded their worth, it was determined that it's time to go ahead and condemn them and tear them down. They reached a point where nobody was willing to invest in those properties any longer. And we all are keenly aware of some properties that we have seen. Notice some of them were major buildings in our city, but they're no longer there anymore. So I want us to look at the scripture today. I want us to apply the same logic that was applied to those who tore down the federal complex at Bannister and Troops, because they realized that the property was condemned, it was contaminated, and it needed to be demolished. Now, the first point is that I have is the heart and treasure. And in Matthew 6:19-21, it says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where neither thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In this text, Jesus provides a yardstick, a barometer, a metric, if you will, amen, to confirm in where our hearts really rest. It's a solemn warning from the Creator of both heaven and earth. And when you look at the last half of Matthew chapter 6, Jesus deals with wrong perspectives regarding the material realm in which we live. In other words, he talks about money, and Christ talks about money more, almost more than salvation in his writings. Amen. And when you look at it, verses 19 through 24, Jesus deals with greed. In verses 25 through 34, he deals with anxiety over the basic necessities of life. And these two problems are cousins, amen, because they both speak to a lack of trust in God. If you're worried about trying to accumulate a lot of money or what you're going to eat or what you're going to wear, it's saying that your trust is really not in God. Amen. Now, let's look at the contrast that Jesus gives us here. He makes a contrast between heaven and earth. And he urges his followers really just to forget about earth and just focus on heaven. Make heaven the priority, Jesus is saying, because the earth is already condemned. And the purpose of this life that we live, that he gives us down here, is to prepare not for retirement, but to prepare for heaven. Amen. That is the purpose of our life down here. He wants us to get ready for heaven. Let me say it again. The purpose of our lives is not for what's going to happen here, but what's going to happen when we leave here and go to glory. Now, let's look at this a little bit. He says moths are universally known as destructive insects. They eat up your wool clothes. Amen. Now, if you don't put some mothballs in there with it or put it in a cedar chest, you go back after it's been in there, been out all summer long, and you may put on something that has some holes in it, because moths will eat up wool. And then burglaries. Do you have any idea how frequently burglaries occur in the United States of America? A burglary occurs in the United States of America once every 23 seconds. Oh, y'all knew that, didn't you? I can tell how y'all responded. Y'all already knew that. So why would we put all of our effort and energy in trying to prepare to hold on to this life when we, and what's in this world, when we already know that God has condemned? We need to understand there is no permanence in this world. You can't take your treasure with you, amen, into the next world. But I got good news. You can send it ahead through kingdom-oriented stewardship. Amen. By investing in heaven, amen, and that's God's work here on earth, you can send your treasures on ahead, and you'll be rewarded. You'll find them when you get to glory. So where a person's heart is, their treasure will be, or you can flip it back, and where your treasure is, there your heart will be. The second reason we need to make heaven our priority is because we have a divine appointment. In Hebrews 9, 27, 28, it says, and as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. So Christ also offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. A great reason to invest, or I should say a great reason not to invest in this world, is that we didn't come here to stay. And we have an appointment that God has established for us that we can't miss. And that appointment is one that he has set in his own time, amen, and it will come to every person who ever walks the face of this earth unless Jesus returns first. Hey, that's the only way you can bypass physical death. That is that Christ comes back from glory. That appointment, ain't none of us going to be late either. I've seen myself driving down the highway, calling my barber, saying, "Hey man, I'm off my mark this morning, but I'm on my way." Calling the doctor's office, "Hey, I'm gonna be about 15 minutes late, but I need to reschedule." With that appointment, everybody gonna be on time, because God is the one who is in control of that appointment. Amen. And remember that you brought nothing into this world, and you can take nothing out of this world. My dad used to always say, "I never saw a Brink truck following the hearse to the cemetery." And neither have you. Amen. Heaven becomes a priority, as the scripture says, because we are waiting and looking for the return of Jesus Christ. And we're doing it with great anticipation. We're doing it eagerly because we made heaven a priority in our lives. Now, in conjunction with that appointment being a good reason to make heaven your first priority, is that one day the day of the Lord is going to come. Woo, and that's going to be a day. 2 Peter 3:10-12. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with great noise. See, I told you this property is condemned. And the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. And the day of the Lord is another description for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is consistent with the Old Testament imagery of his return. See, the Old Testament basically sees time in two ways. It sees it in terms of two ages, and that is the age that is and the age that is to come. And the transition from the age that is to the age to come is purely and totally in the hands of Almighty God. It will come to pass based on his timetable. God will direct the day of the Lord when Jesus Christ will come back. And see, despite of all the warnings in Scripture, people still don't believe. People are still not prepared. See, the Bible, and most of us have heard this before, that before Christ comes, that there are going to be wars and rumors of war. But the scripture says the end is what? Not yet. Amen. Because all of these signs begin to appear, they point to the fact that Jesus is coming back, but not right now. But with that and knowing that, people just roll on like it ain't no big deal. You know, they just keep on going. But Christ's unexpected return will bring destruction of the present creation where we live. The heavens refer to the galaxies, the solar systems that are beyond the Earth's atmosphere. The elements refer to the Earth and our immediate solar system. Amen. So I want to give you some perspective, because, you know, what we look at as far as the heavens is where we live. But the heaven where God lives is far beyond even our solar system. The earth describes the planet on which we live, and all these things that they're going to disappear when Jesus come back. They're going to be destroyed. They're going to melt with fervent heat. And see, we always be talking about, you know, nuclear destruction. That's not how God's going to work. When God determines that he is going to destroy the earth, it will be by his divine power, and all these things are going to disappear. All of them are going to be destroyed. The day of the Lord is going to be a terrible day for people without Christ. But it's going to be a joyous day for those of us who know Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. Amen. That's going to be a great day for us who know Jesus Christ, because I don't know about you, but I'm waiting for him to come. And the book of Revelation said, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. And the Apostle Paul wrote, he said, that I'm in a strait between two opinions, because I feel like there's a need for me to stay here with you. But in my heart, I really want to go home and be with the Lord. So when we look at the fact that this property is condemned, then we ought to be looking forward to our new home, to our future home. And in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13, it says, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Why? Should we make heaven our priority? The old heaven and the new heaven are going to pass away on the day of the Lord. Amen. And so we need to be mindful that this is transient, and what's coming is eternal. Amen. And according to that text, in the new heaven and the new earth, righteousness dwells. The lives of the people who are going to inhabit the new heaven and new earth, their lives are going to be earmarked by righteous and holy living. Now, let me help drive the point home as we head to a close. When John was on the Isle of Patmos, he had been exiled out there and for preaching Jesus Christ. But while he was there, God gave him what we call revelation. And in the 21st chapter, John wrote these words. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. Remember, I always tell you that where God establishes doctrine for his church, he repeats truth more than one time. This is the third or fourth time that I've read just in this message alone where there's a new heaven and a new earth that is on its way. And it says also, there was no more sea. So in the new heaven and the new earth, no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. So the new city is going to be what? Dressed up, decked out, ready, just like a bride when she stands at the door and they open and the pastor says, please stand for the entrance of the bride. It's going to come dressed up in such a way that is going to put us in a state of awe. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and he and God himself shall be with them and be their God. So when we come to this point where the new heaven and the new earth comes, God is going to come, and his tabernacle, his dwelling place, is going to be in the new world and in the new city, in the new Jerusalem, and he's going to be right there with us who have been saved and have been born again. But this is where we can all get excited, because he says, and God will wipe away some tears from their, no, all, every tear that ever got in you, that filled your eye, God himself is going to wipe away every tear, and we all cry about something. And listen to this. There will be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain. I know some people and it hurts sometimes. There ain't going to be no more pain when we get there with him. And you know why? Because it says, for the former things have passed away. Make heaven your priority, Christian charity. Amen. And let me just go ahead and close right now. Because, see, Jesus, before he went to Calvary, he left on record in John 14. He told us, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. And if it wasn't so, I would have told you. But listen to this. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. In my Father's house. In my Father's house, in the new heaven and the new earth, there are many mansions there. Yeah. See, I love it. See, the Williams brothers sang, Frank Williams used to say, and one of them belongs to me. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. But Jesus said, if I go, I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself. Somebody asked him, said, Lord, where are you going, Thomas? Thomas said, Lord, where are you going? And Thomas said, and Jesus told Thomas, he said, Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. Well, Jesus went to Mount Calvary and died to save us from our sins. They buried him in a borrowed tomb where he laid all night Friday night. And he laid there all night Saturday night. But he got up early Sunday morning with all power in heaven and earth in his hand, got on a cloud, went back to glory, making preparation for you and me. Because he knows that one day, the day of the Lord is going to come, and he's going to come back with the shout of the archangel. The trump of God is going to sound. Oh, hallelujah. And you and me that are still alive and we remain when he come back, the scripture said we're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Oh, you need to make heaven your priority. This world is going to pass away. If you know Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, turn to that person sitting next to you and just look them in the eye and say, there are many mansions in heaven, and one of them belongs to me. Heaven is my priority. Now, if you couldn't say that with the utmost assurance, as we get ready to open the doors of the church, you need to come on down this morning, commit your life to Jesus Christ, and then join the rest of us in saying, heaven is my home. There are many mansions there, and one of them belongs to me. Stand with me.